Yes, Your Honor. No, it's just one of those natural things.
Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. It's good to see we have such a nice turnout at today's meeting. That's good. I like to see it like this. If anybody has any cell phones or other PDA devices, if you'd silence them now, please. And then if you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now to item number 3, this will be discussion of possible action, the approval of the agenda for this date, August the 16th, 2016. Manager Whitten, do you have any changes to make to today's agenda?
Yes, sir. I believe it's some total of 3, 2 of which I'll cover, and council will cover the third. We'd ask that you move up in the interest of courtesy to all those that are here today. Item number 18, thank you very much, the master plan, to immediately follow item number 8, the BDR submittal. And then also, since Mickey's here from Nature Conservancy, we'd ask that you move item number 17 up to immediately follow the moved item number 18 for the same reasons.
Okay.
And then Ms. Langer will discuss a proposed language change on item number 13.
Okay. Counselor?
On item number 13, it should have discussion and then / possible action. If you look at the wording within the actual item itself, it talks about the approval of a bid award for the public works project, and that the actual paperwork that is attached in as a staff report and possible motion put everything in context that this was an approval and that the words possible action were just left off. So yes. I would amend that to put possible action and move, allow everyone to move forward with that.
Great. Noted. All right. Any other comments or concerns regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, can we get a motion for approval?
I'll move to approve today's agenda.
I'll second that motion.
Good move and second to approve the agenda for August 16, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion and possible action approval of the minutes for July the 19th, 2016. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for July the 19th? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve the minutes for July the 19th.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes for July the 19th, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5. This is the consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, motion for approval.
Move to approve.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda for today. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now, we're going to go to item number 6. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. And this will be the first of its kind that we've had in a long time. If we could have Nicole Bart from the Story County Senior Citizen Center, the Virginia City office, to give us her chairman's report.
Thank you. Nicole Bard, currently the chair of the Story County Senior Citizen Center. I'll be giving the updates until we fill the position. So first off, I'd like to announce that April Enloe has left the position of executive director for the Senior Center. So the next thing is that we have posted and are accepting applications for an executive director of the Senior Center. In the interim, we are very lucky to have Virginia Nevin acting as interim executive director. God love her, but she's done everything and has been involved with the center and ran it many years ago, and so she was able to just and has stepped right in and is helping us keep everything going, and we've got organizations coming in to provide services for the seniors, so that's great. And then the third thing is that we have some board vacancies, so you will see or have already seen some ads that we've run in both of the local papers asking for individuals who are interested in senior issues and wanting to help the community to please contact us, because we need to fill about three of the vacancies on the board. That's it. Questions?
Any questions for Nicole?
Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole.
Quick comment. Again, I want to thank Nicole and the board for taking leadership and really taking the advantage of the opportunity to really almost, in some respects, hopefully reinvent our local senior center and make it, I think, in Nicole's words in talking with her, a destination rather than just a place for old people to hang out.
Well, so. You want to be old, you want to be here. Thank you.
Now,
do
thank you.
Fit in that building now? Did we fit in that building?
She does.
Being old?
She's self-confessed.
All right. Well, the Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Jerry. Thank you. Chief Devin, Fire Protection District.
That's not
an issue.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mr. Manager, for the record, Jeff Nevin, Battalion Chief, Story County Fire Protection District, actually the acting chief for the next, hopefully, week and a half or so. Just a couple of things. We did send some engines to Carson City on Sunday to assist them in their 200-acre fire they had on the south of Sea Hill, ran down into the Indian Colony. They didn't lose any homes, just a couple of outbuildings, the last I heard, so. Luckily, we had enough resources there to help them out with. We currently have an engine in Northern California in the Little Lake, Clear Lake area, helping them. They have yet another fire this summer, this year. So. And then we have one of our paramedics in Idaho assisting with that large fire up there, the Pioneer Fire. So, and over the last month, we've had engines in California, eastern Nevada, and then we assisted BLM and Truckee Meadows with the number of fires in the near the Pyramid Lake and north of Cold Springs area with engines and bulldozers. And then on a sad note, Jim Reinhart was the former East Fork Fire Protection District Chief and NDF, the Nevada Division of Forestry Fire Management Officer, for a number of years. Lost his battle with cancer, and he passed this last week. So our condolences to him and his family. And that's all I have if you have any questions.
Any questions for Jeff? Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
We're in our planning department, Jason Van Habel.
Thank you, Jason Van Habel, the planning. With the moving forward successfully today with the master plan, that would initiate some other activities that planning is going to focus its attentions on in the future, one of which would be some design standards to support some of the recommendations that are coming out of the new master plan. So we can, as we get some design standards, we'll definitely move those forward to the commission. We're going to take another look at the signing ordinance for the county. We've mentioned it a couple times in the past, but then we'll now have the opportunity to take a closer look at that and move that one forward as well. There's interest in some potential tattoo regulations in the county, and so that's going to be definitely a lengthy conversation to have. I'm not sure what direction it's going to go, but that's on our radar, and we're going to have some discussions to try to see what the interest is of moving that one forward or not. The response from the USGS presentation regarding the water situation in the Highlands and in Mark Twain has been very positive by the locals. The USGS reports that several people have volunteered to have their wells monitored, and USGS is looking at how to develop a comprehensive plan for those areas to be able to get a good handle on the water situation and then develop and the, for, to develop some information to deliver to the county for us to be able to potentially develop some strategies to address water issues moving forward. And then lastly, the staff is working with the Carson River Water Subconservancy to develop some flood plan, a detailed flood plan for the Mark Twain area. And as that moves forward, then we should have a pretty good idea of what infrastructure we're going to want to look at to implement to the area to try to mitigate some flood issues in the future. Thank you.
Great. Any questions for Jason?
No.
Great. Thank you, Jason. Over in our communications department, Dave Ballard.
Nothing today.
Emergency management, Joe Curtis.
Nothing to say, Chairman.
Public Works Department, Mike Nevin.
Good morning, commissioners, staff. Mike Nevin for the record, Public Works Director. Just a couple of things to bring you up to speed on. Last Tuesday, we met with the archaeological folks from Broadbent on the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project. It'll be, of course, all the infrastructure in Virginia City and Gold Hill. Through their preliminary work, they've identified the potential for about six sites that may be sensitive in some respect until we get in there and do a little bit of more research and work with them hand in hand, and that'll be our crews doing that along beside them because, you know, I feel more comfortable that way than bringing a contractor up here and starting to pothole around town where they may or may not know where things exist or don't exist. But I'm just going to mention a couple because I think they have some pretty historical significance to the project. And back before 1877, when the county or the state legislature actually authorized the formation of the Virginia Paid Fire Department after the conflagration 75, water was stored in cisterns that were in the streets here around town. We think we did locate one. It's down near the intersection of B and Mill Street. These were brick cisterns that were pretty large. They probably held, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 gallons of water apiece. And it looks like one of those is pretty much still intact down there. So we'd be doing a little work around that site to see what condition it's in and then document anything that might be of significance as far as that site is concerned. The other one that has some potential possibly is the V&T Tunnel 7. And Tunnel 7 was actually crossed Washington Street down at L. And that was a spur line that fed over to the Con Virginia Mining Works back in the day. And so at this point, they don't know if both ends are caved. We know they're caved, but we don't know, you know, the condition of the tunnel, if it was filled or what have you. So they'll be doing some boring there, some ground-penetrating radar to see what might be found in that site. And then they'll do a digital data analysis just so they have something on record. And this all has to be done as part of the federal process, too, because we're receiving federal dollars for the project. And lastly, another significant site is the neighborhood site, they call it, and that's up on the divide on the west side of 342, just below the two smaller water tanks that exist up there on the distribution system. And those tanks are scheduled to be replaced with a 2-million-gallon tank for fire flow. And so, you know, there's some things that they've located up there that, you know, we need to check out and just to see, you know, what's going on and with those sites. It's nothing that's going to hold up the project. We don't anticipate. But this information is needed so that they can satisfy the BLM and the USDA as far as their historic properties treatment plan is concerned. And that plan is scheduled to be completed by the end of this year. So we'll probably be working with them during the months of October, November, so that they can finish cataloging what they need to do there in order to complete the plan by the end of the calendar year. Secondly, we had a pre-construction meeting on the siphon line replacement underneath I-80. The bore is complete.
Under 580?
Yeah. The boring from the west side to the east side was completed last week. The casing, the new 24-inch casing is in place. As a result of potholing for the acceptance of the casing in the pit on the east side of the highway, they discovered an additional water line that runs perpendicular to the siphon. It's about 12 inches to the north of the siphon. It's a 2.5-inch old steel line. And when we got to looking at some old NDOT plans, it appears that the reason that it was put in, probably back in the 60s, the 1960s, was to furnish water for construction of the roadway that runs through Washoe Valley, because on our side, on the east side, there's a standpipe just on the other side of the Duck Hill Road that goes up to the subdivision there. So that'll be eliminated, providing we can find the valving and such. We didn't see any leaks there, but it was interesting to note really how bad a shape that piece of pipe is that crosses underneath that freeway there. It's pretty rough and rugged, but right now they're waiting for the parts and pieces to arrive and the project to complete the new line will probably be on hold until sometime in October when they can get in, put in the new pipe, shut down the siphon, probably take less than a week, we hope, and get it all hooked in properly. So it's progressing, but it's been a slow process, but it's not costing Story County anything at this point. So, you know, we got to be patient and it'll get done and happen. The swimming pool will close for the season this coming Sunday, 21st. School starts on the 22nd, so we lose our staffing, of course, to the textbook and the teachers. So it seems like it's been a real short summer, and probably has. It always takes us longer to prep the pool and get it ready than it does to actually, you know, run it for a couple of months. But, you know, it's something that the kids enjoy, and it gets a lot of use for that little short period of time that it is open. The improvements to Miners Park, just a little update there. We're still awaiting the arrival of the playground equipment. I'm anticipating it to arrive within the next week to 10 days. We did solicit proposals for the paver portion of that project. We sent it out to four or five different paving contractors, and I guess paver contractors are real busy these days because we received one bid back, and that was from Cassinelli Landscaping out of Dayton, John Cassinelli. So it's within the budget and the grant for the park, so we'll be letting John handle that aspect of that for that project. So That won't start until after the Labor Day holiday, and the Civil War folks are naturally out of the park, and we can work around the other weekend events that are scheduled for the gazebo area there. In anticipation of the Cape Seal project, our crews have been busy the last few weeks doing some crack sealing on those portions that will be affected by the Cape Seal, and that's later on the agenda, and I'll get up and address that at that point. And then lastly, just for your notification, after working 35 and a half years, all of in Story County, I'm retiring at the end of the year. I met with County Manager Witten the first part of this month, and I made mention earlier today that I actually started my career in Story County in 1974, which is 42 years ago. And I had a seven-year absence when I went to work for a private firm selling fire and emergency equipment. So I had 25 and a half years in the fire end of things. I was the first fire protection officer that was hired when they formed the Clark McNary district up here. And actually was a seasonal employee for about 3 months, and then the Board of County Commissioners at that time was big-hearted Henry Bland, Clint Salmon, and Laura Del Carlo wanted that position full-time. So rolled right into a full-time position. And I was young and had a family on the way, and so it worked out well for me. And then in 1980, with the retirement of then Fire Chief Buzz Goodman, I was appointed by the board to take over that responsibility, and I actually received a little stipend, a monthly stipend, and I think it was about $150 a month back in the day, and did that up until 1998 when I retired for the first time, or no, 2000, I'm sorry. In 98, they actually made the fire chief's position full-time, so I took that full-time, left MDF, and then worked a couple of years, and then, like I say, in 2000, I left and went to work for a firm selling fire and emergency equipment, and then the public works director's position. My predecessor retired in 2007, and I was fortunate enough to be selected by then, of course, our existing county manager, Pat Witten, and then commissioner and chairman, Bum Hess. So, you know, it's been a fun and interesting career. Like I told Pat, I think I've seen enough, probably heard too much, and not quite sure if I've done enough or not. That'll be determined by the public. But I think, you know, I've accomplished quite a few things in the 10-year venture that has been made. But I'm looking forward to, you know, doing something different. Virginia, of course, right now, as Nicole mentioned, is kind of helping out there. She hopes, since she retired, of course, a year ago. So we'll go do something exciting and fun, we hope. And I'm not going anywhere. I mean, you know, my roots are here in town. So, and I mentioned to Pat, if I can help out, you know, along the line, you know, more than willing to take a look-see and give a hand where I came. So, thank you.
You know, Mike, I'm not sure, but in those closing remarks, I'm not entirely confident that there are a lot of as-builts remaining in the archives necessarily. So I have a hunch that your counsel, as we move along here in future years, are going to be very important to figure out where all those pipes and valves are.
We have some of it done.
Yes, we have some.
We don't have enough of it. Like,
well, stay aboard. Thank you.
Well, we still have you on speed dial.
Yeah. We know where you're going.
7454354. Yeah. I spent 22 years with Mike Nevin
as a volunteer in the fire department. Of course, there's several people in here who are also in the fire department over the course of those years. Tom Grace, one of them, back there. We all worked together over the course of time. Joe Curtis. Since Mike's been doing a lot of digging, he knows where most of it's buried or who's buried. But we're certainly going to call on him to help us, especially we've got this big project that's coming up, this wastewater replacement throughout the community, and Mike is going to be instrumental in helping us complete that. I'm sure of that. All right. Director of Security, Melanie Keener.
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Over at our Human Resources and Planning and five or six other hats, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. All I want to do is remind the public, I've talked about the United States Geological Survey giving a presentation at the Planning Commission, which will be an evening meeting at 6 o'clock if folks were not able to come to this County Commission meeting for that same presentation. The date is October 6th. That is the date that the Planning Commission will hear the USGS presentation on the findings for Mark Twain and the Highlands. Thank you.
Do you know that if after the first presentation, if they've gotten any more volunteers who've stepped up for well monitoring?
Yes, very much. I understand that there's been, the last I heard, 17 people in the Highlands and about 5 or 7 in the Mark Twain area. But that information now is probably pushing 3 weeks now, so I bet you we're well over 20. In fact, the USGS now is looking at us saying, okay, how do we manage this many volunteers? And we're working with them on structuring that. So,
that's great, because the Highlands only had two volunteer well monitors in the past.
And that goes all the way back to 92.
Wow. Correct.
1992.
That's a great start.
Very much.
Any questions for Austin?
No, but I'd like to add that, yeah, I'm one of the volunteers, and I've talked to the gentleman that gave the presentation, and we talked about I can record the actual happenings. So they'll uncap the well, put their measurement in, and basically that's all it is. They drop a core to measure the depth of the water table. But I'm going to record it, then I'll put it out on the blog to speak of, so that everybody can see what takes place. There's no invasive that's going on here. So,
and I might add, just for the commissioners, Austin is modestly understating the impact on USGS, a very small federally funded organization, in terms of how to manage not only the volunteers, but obtaining the data and analyzing the data over time. So we anticipate Mr. Gallagher and I and Austin and Jason and others will be looking at supported funding as well, because it's one thing to have people volunteer, but you've got to be able to use the data for everybody's benefit. So I'm sure somewhere in the near future you'll be looking either at an augmentation or a 17-18 budget item of hopefully a modest but critical amount to do this.
And that'll be exciting, and I think it's incumbent on us that once these findings are out, the USGS just hands them over, then it's our team looks at what do we do working with these communities on mitigating the issues. And there's lots of different out-of-the-box options that we can do working with our communities to come up with resolutions to water issues in our county. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Austin. All right. I'm over from the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Coming at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. The BCTC, Tourism, Dindy Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, and good morning, Denny Dawson from Tourism. Happy to report that we've got one person hired and one more in the pipeline, so hopefully here in the next couple of weeks we'll be close to being fully staffed, get that visitor center back open full-time like it should be 7 days a week so we can greet our guests. And it couldn't come at a better time. If you've been around Virginia City a while, you know that the fall season is our biggest as far as special events, and we're kicking off about 10 straight weeks here next week with Ferraris, Civil War, camels, rodeo, steampunk, motorcycles, outhouse, Red Run, zombies, Thomas Trans back again for a couple weeks, Halloween. It's quite a lineup of a lot of things for folks to do to mix a little history with a lot of fun. So with that, you'll probably see my head down quite a bit, and doing a few things on the street. But really, that's just in a nutshell what we've got going on for the next month.
That's great. Commissioners, any questions? Thank you, Denny.
About time.
Okay.
About time you were.
Former chairman of the board and county commissioner and current county lobbyist, Bob Hess.
That's a way to start.
Okay, thank you. Special counsel Morse.
I just would like to report on the business license ordinance.
Robert Morse for the record. I just wanted to update the board. As you recall, we introduced it in May and then had a first, second reading in June, I think it was June 21st. We got quite a bit of input for that. And so after a small break for summer, we're back at work. One of the things that we had discussed briefly was creating a resolution for the fees. That's ongoing. The other thing that we had discussed was the making sure that the state repository and the FBI were satisfied with the ordinance language that we have. And then finally, we're working on the exact qualifications we think are best for liquor licenses. And so we have a schedule that we would come back on October 4th with basically a final version of the ordinance. And so we'll be working hard on it and expect to be back in maybe 2 months.
Great. Any questions for Bob?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Morris. Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. D.A. Langer.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
County Manager Whitten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief so we can get on to the BDR and hopefully catch everybody's comments. If not, I'll ask them. Maybe Candy can share those with Dwight or Joel or somebody so we can make sure we've got everybody's input. First item that I think is long overdue is, as you may notice, as you came here or left here, Piper's Opera House has a fabulous coat of paint on there that was recently done by a private company out of Reno. It went up so quickly and looks like it was done so well that prompted both me, my commission chair, and many others to say, when are we going to paint the facade of this courthouse? It is long, long, long overdue. Our issue has been a matter of timing. Typically, we've looked at, you know, needing to rely on federal and state grants through SHPO. But when I found out what the school district invested in the paint job of Piper's as opposed to what they got, I was flabbergasted when the amount was only $14,500. And keep in mind, that's for four sides of a building probably every bit as big, I would think, as the courthouse in terms of facial square footage or surface square footage. So we're going through the processes now, kind of under the guise, even if it's ultimately to be considered as a good primer coat, while we do the rest of the things that the SHPOs require, including some more structural tightening and restoration. We're going to go ahead and, once I get a bid from Radcliffe, go through the processes, submit it to the Historic District for hopeful approval. I do warn everybody, and we will vet this out probably in an agenda item, just so there's full disclosure, but it'll have a different color. We're going back to a historic color, I think, from the 40s, as I recall, that everybody I've shown it to is very much in favor of. So that's the first one. Second one, with Mr. Morris here, it reminded me, you recall that we are required to submit to the Legislative Council Bureau during legislative sessions and years, and to, I think, the Legislation Commission or something in non-legislative years, our two annual reports on Tesla. They basically The first one is a rather simplistic report that says, yep, we've got a project, a few more items than that. Second one's a little more detailed in that we list both what we would have collected had we not abated any fees or partially abated fees, what we did collect under any agreements, and equally as important, and although not required, I think, in the legislation of SB 1 of the 2014 special session, the legislature and the public and the media are wanting to know, you know, what are we really spending? So we've done a better job this year tracking through the fire district, and I think Acting Chief Nevin and Fire Marshal Klingler and, of course, Chief Hames for that, but also Community Development Dean's Office. We've done a better job tracking this throughout the year, or at least getting our tracking together where we can come up with a fairly accurate number. So we'll be including that number in our reports. The first one's due September 1st, and we'll be on time. The second one's due October 1st, and we'll be done early because we essentially have all the data now. Third is, if she was here today, third and fourth, actually, if she was here today, Sherry Nevin, together with Mel Keener, would be reporting on something we're pretty excited about. I want to say this because Joe Curtis is also here. You've heard Joe in the past talk about his travels with Sherry back east, I think to Alabama, as I recall, where, you know, they had a wonderful county museum in the city they were in, and that gave Joe particularly cause to pause and think about the fact that we don't have a county museum. You know, we've got the way it was, and we've got, you know, some others, very nice ones, the Red Light Museum and others, but we don't have a county museum. So when the police officers' museum vacated last year, they were very generous in leaving all their display cases. So I'm again pleased to say our program, I think we meet tomorrow as an artifact committee with the team, Director of Security Keener will report on that down the road, as I'm sure will Sherry, but Sherry couldn't be here today. But I'm pleased to tell you that, like it or not, most of us have already grown fond of naming it because we have the VCCC, the Virginia City Conference Center, and we've got the VCTC, and we're tired of acronyms, so we're going to call it the Courthouse Slammer and County Museum. So if you don't like it, you better let me know really quick because Mr. Curtis will be printing up signs, and I believe they're going on our ballots because this will be the polling place for the Virginia City and Gold Hill precincts during the general election. So that's number three. Number four is, and for you non-pet owners, I apologize because this will strike you maybe as corny. For pet owners, you'll totally get it. And if I choke up like Marshall does, that tells you I'm obviously a proud pet owner of three dogs on most any given day. The chair very appropriately always recognizes the passing of key people and key players in our county. And I love the way he does it. I don't want to get over emotional or overemphasize this, but again, if you're a pet person, you get it. Sherry Nevin, who Mike said, you know, he's got 30-some-odd years of service in the county, including bringing a family in at about that time. But I got to thank Mike not only for his years of dedicated service, but what he and Virginia have done for adding to the next generation of county leaders, Jeff Nevins, who sits back here, and the Sherry Nevins, who couldn't be here today because Sunday late she had to put her partner, her child, her son, if you will, Tanner the Beagle down. And again, it's for those that think the Story County is cold-hearted and not a family, you're wrong. And I appreciate the opportunity just to recognize both the importance of Sherry and the importance of what our children, in many cases, particularly if you don't have other children, human children, and our pets mean to us. So my condolences to the Nevins, but also especially to Sherry. So that's it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for indulging me.
Thanks, Pat. Mr. Stevens, nothing today? All right. That point, that concludes item number six, and now we're going to move on to item number seven. And these are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. So we'll start out, Commissioner McGuffey.
Nothing today.
Oh. Vice Chairman Gilman?
Nothing today.
And I have just, I don't have much today. I've had this in my briefcase for a couple of months. It was buried with all my other notes. This was a letter received from Senator Heller's office, and this was the, I like to mention this each year, this is the amount of money that Story County receives in PILT funding from the federal government, which is, PILT is an acronym, which we hate using, but everybody uses them. It's payment in lieu of taxes. So, because we have 14,498 acres that are federally owned in Story County, since we don't collect property taxes on that, they make a stipend payment to us in the amount of $37,617. So, anyway, it's kind of pennies from heaven that we see. If we were a county such as Nye, who has 8.5 million acres, they get $3,108,000 a year. But for those counties, especially our eastern counties, who would like to dissect themselves from the federal government and be self-controlling, they would lose all of this funding because statewide it's over $25.5 million that the federal government pumps into the 17 counties. Story County has the least amount of acreage and also the least amount of payment, but it's still we can still use that $37,617 in our budget. So, just a little heads up. Senators like to send us these little tidbits of information to pass on. So, thank you for that. Now we're going to go ahead and move on to
eight.
Yes, excuse me. I've got a bunch of different notes here.
18.
We're going to go to 8 now.
8.
Yeah. 18 will follow next, and then 17 after that. Okay. Item number 18. I know that there's several of you here. Item number 8. Several of you are here for this item, and this is approval to authorize the county manager to finalize the middle language requiring Story County singular draft bill request, which is a BDR allocation for the 2017 Nevada legislative session to the Legislative Council Bureau, the LCB, regarding restructuring of the current composition of the Nevada Commission on the Reconstruction of the V&T Railway, which is the Rail Commission, as provided for in Chapter 566, a 1993 statute of Nevada as amended by Chapter 42, 2001 Statutes of Nevada. For further clarification, while additional minor verbiage changes may occur subsequent to commission approval and prior to submittal of the BDR by or before the legislative deadline of September the 1st, 2016, the core fundamental language must address and cover the following concepts. I think I'll stop right there and turn it over to County Manager Whitman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our staff report indicates an allocated time of 30 minutes. We always know that those are approximate. I'm going to try to be as expeditious as I can because I know the project manager and a person I've worked with for many, many, many years that I respect immensely, Candy Duncan, is here and hopefully will chime in on some of the historics, but more importantly, hopefully her thoughts on the future. I'm going to start out first by recognizing some of the representatives that are here and giving their valuable time. Dwight Millard, the chairman of the Nevada Commission for the Reconstruction of the V&T Railway. Candy Duncan, of course. Joel Dunn, the director of the Carson City Convention and Visitors Bureau, and his assistant. Buddy, I'm going to draw a total blank on your name. But I appreciate that. And, of course, Denny Dotson and our very own Jack McGuffey, who was your current representative on the Rail Commission. Next off, I want to give a bit of history, and I want to caveat that by saying I came here in 94 and got involved in 99, so I'm a Johnny-come-lately when it comes to this stuff. And when I'm in the room and humbled by what I call the real-deal historians of folks like Jack Greenhall, Joe Curtis, who know way more than I do, and I'll probably misspeak, and most importantly, a gentleman who I think has probably lived this rail most, if not all, of his life, Tom Gray. If I make minor misstatements along the way, I hope you'll either indulge me or call me on it. So to start with the history, I want to start with referencing two of my favorite books in my personal library, and that is The Virginia and Truckee Railroad, written by Lucius Beebe and Charles Clegg, and The Virginia and Truckee Railroad, written by Ted Worm. And I'm going to quote to you just very briefly, because I think it best from the second book. I think it very much depicts what happened, so bear with me, if you will. So they talk about the last train leaving Virginia City back in the 1950s, and the day the railroad died. Unfortunately, or perhaps just as well, Mr. Beebe did not live long enough to be proven a bad prophet on his statement when the Virginia and Truckee banks fired the engines of its engines at the last long night, as so many have seen so many little railroads before it. It will come not again, for the dead not return. Moving forward to 1975, Mr. Worm goes on to say in 1975, 26 years after Beebe's prediction, and an eternity of sleep for the BNT, and 37 years after the last train whistled away, tracks were being relayed from the historic buildings of the very place where she once ran. And it moves forward to talk about those efforts, but most importantly, it continues to say, during the intervening period, several efforts were made to restore parts of the railroad, but all failed. Meanwhile, a determined Oakland, California businessman, Robert C. Gray, did extensive research into county records and approached people who owned lands where the old trains had run. It was a long-time job full of discouragements, but Bob Gray was driven by a love for the railroad and a determination to see it running once again, the trains that had fascinated him as a youth. Gray's present revival of the Virginia and Truckee out of Virginia City has sent a cheery message throughout the West. V&T did not die back in the 50s when the last trains were sadly photographed. We'd like to think it was resting in a well-earned hibernation for the last 21 years. So that kind of gives you a glimpse as to the real history. But I do want to recognize those people that, in my opinion, have reignited it and carry it forward to this day, those being Bob Gray, the entire Gray family, and in present day, a gentleman I love to work with because I learn something every time, Tom Gray, who is here today as the principal for the V&T Railroad, Virginia Truckee Railroad. Also, I want to recognize some of the past rail commissioners that have come out of Story County. As I recall, to the best of my memory, it goes clear back to Henry Bland, a name we've already heard as this was beginning to get put together. Moving on to Chuck Haynes, then on to John Flanagan, more recently Bill Chauvangan, and now Jack McGuffey. These guys have been dedicated, active, and committed all the way through, along with many others, including Dwight, Bob Hatfield, Marv Texera, John Tyson, the whole existing commission, and others that have served in the past, and also support staff, not only including Candy, but also Kevin, who recently passed away, Mike Rowe, Ken Dorr, and many others that have been there all along. So to kind of bring you up to speed, at least into the late 20th and 21st century, in 1993, these groups of folks helped convince the Nevada Legislative Commission to enact legislation that authorized the constitution of the Nevada Commission for the Reconstruction of the Virginia and Truckee Railway. That had a board, and they really, along with before that, they're really the ones responsible in working with Bob Gray and Tom and the Gray family in getting this project moving. In 2001, the board was restructured to its present-day seatings of 9 rail commissioners, 5 from the elected counties of Carson, Story, Douglas, Lyon, and Washoe. Three political appointees, one by the governor, which Mr. Millard is, and one each by the Speaker of the Assembly and by the Senate Majority Leader as well, and with one additional tie-breaking seat to make, because eight's an even number, to have a designee from a historic rail society sit on there as well. So that's the board. I want to now turn to our handouts for just a minute, and I'm going to couch my words. In my staff report, you may see some pretty tersely worded language that will get toned out of the BDR request. When I say things like the commission has failed, the rail commission has failed, it's not any one person. I have to tell you, thank God for Dwight, thank God for Jack, thank God for Bob Kroll, and many of the other good people that have served and are serving on that board. But the facts remain, at least in the opinion of many in Story County, myself, I believe, rail commissioner and county commissioner McGuffey, who I'm sure will want to chime in, the results have not been satisfactory for the amount of money that we continue to invest under our 1/4 cent sales tax override, which I'll just briefly recap that 1/4 cent sales tax first so we recall the extent of the investment we make. And for the calendar year 2015, that exceeded $248,000. For the calendar year 2014, that exceeded $286,000. And for the calendar year 2013, it was 206. Now, certainly those are high numbers, but that tells you recently what we're doing, thanks in large part to the industrial center and activity out there. Compare that, if you will, to results. And the only results I have are results that have been given to us this year when Bob Robinson stepped in and started providing us, good quality information. There have been, through prior to last weekend, so through August the 7th, there have been 27 runs that we have numbers for statistically from the runs to Virginia City. These can be special runs that the commission has set up and worked with Tom on, or that Tom set up, and these are none of the short line runs. Tom runs that separate operation as a private business, and it's a great asset for the county. The commission as a whole, the project as a whole, and I'm going to segue away from using the word commission, the project as a whole has struggled this year because the commission's engine, number 18, is going through a major repair cycle and a 15-year, I think, recertification. And to look at the number of pieces down there, and I haven't been down there myself, I understand it is just either frightening or, an incredible thing to see. So what that really translates to is we're limited to two cars using other options available, the Gray Family's 29, because it's a long haul up from Carson City to Virginia City with three cars and however many souls you have on board. But we've averaged this year 111 passengers per those runs. And the I'm going to work in average gross numbers. The actual specific numbers are attached to the staff report. The average generating revenue, gross revenue just from ticket sales, is about $5,000 and change. Conversely, the costs simply back to reimburse Tom for the cost of operating this thing, staffing, the engine, fuel. Those are pretty much set at $5,930. There's some variables in there when you look at it on a longer term basis. So the bottom line is every run now loses money if you look at it purely from the Virginia City side of the house. I will certainly give the project huge kudos with opportunities and capitalizing on things like Polar Express and any of those other programs that really changed the dynamics of this project altogether. But from Virginia City's seat, we have somewhere between two and a half hours probably by the time you carve off transit time from the Tom's Depot, which is beautiful if you haven't seen it, to town, and then from town back down to the train to make sure you don't miss the train back to Carson or Eastgate. So we're losing money and not getting that satisfactory of a return on our investment of $200,000 plus a year in recent times. So with that, we've talked and talked and talked about it during commission meetings. I know it's been talked about at rail meetings. And the long story short is we really haven't necessarily gotten anywhere. It's a good attraction. It just needs to be, hopefully, reinvented in some respects. So what we are proposing to do, Story County has allowed one bill draft request, BDR, during each legislative session. To the best of my knowledge, in modern history, we've never used ours. We've always gone through NACO or through our legislative constituents, but we've never used our singular BDR. So my recommendation to the board today is to consider a BDR, the one and only BDR for submittal, and we have to have this approved by the end of this month because I have to have it into LCB by September 1st. But it would basically restructure the commission from those nine people, many of which have wonderful interests at heart, some of them personally, some of them whatever. But when you have elected officials from Washoe County and Lyon County that aren't quite sure why they're on this commission, and there was good reason to do that back in 2001, by the way. The hopes were they'd help contribute, you know, to the operation because they do benefit. We know that. Lyon, maybe not so much as hopefully Washoe and Douglas, but in the end, that money hasn't been forthcoming with any frequency. And to be candid with you again, I think they don't have skin in the game, and they recognize that. Our bill draft to you, commissioners, it would be to restructure the Nevada Commission for the Reconstruction on the B&T Railway, reducing it from nine commissioners to five. Those five seats would be elected representatives or the commission's appointees, because sometimes either in Carson or Story, maybe a commissioner might not be able to sit, so there might be reason to appoint staff, but they would be the elected or appointees of Carson City and Story County, the two with major investments in here, which is the reason why Joel and his team, I think, is here from Carson CDB. In fact, I know is here. They fund this thing massively. I was shocked to learn some of the numbers from Candy when we met with Dwight a while back. So there would be those two on the board. When we really looked at it, working with Dwight and Candy and Jack, we said, what is this thing? And it's a tourist venue. It's a tourist attraction. Hopefully it's a big regional attraction. If you look at railways elsewhere in Durango and Silverton and Willits and Fort Bragg and those places and many more, I don't know. So it's a tourist venue. So we thought, okay, let's get the tourism people on it. Ergo, Joel Dunn's from CCCBB, Denny Dotson's, or their successors down the road, that would sit in and give opinions. They're already contributing significantly. And then the fifth and tiebreaker, as is normal, would continue to be the governor's appointment. Currently, Dwight, hopefully will continue to be Dwight, because he is a tremendously dedicated commissioner that I love working with. So I think that really, in a nutshell, is it. The BDR before you may have some minor verbiage changes. I'm working with Mary Walker, who couldn't be here today, and Bum, and the LCB to make sure we're totally compliant with the bill draft request. The realities are, will it pass, will it not? I don't know. I will tell you, we have full support from Lyon County and Washoe County on removing them from the board. I can't claim that we have full support yet from Douglas County, but I'm working with Larry Warner on providing him documentation, and I've talked to him, and we've met enough times with Carson City that I believe we're on good grounds, but we will continue to meet with the mayor and with Nick Morano, their city manager, over time to make sure we're all in the same direction. But BDRs oftentimes don't pass the first year of submittal. But the bottom line is we have to do something. And I want to thank the folks that are here and the folks that have helped. I'll start with the gentleman behind me. I've learned things in drafting this BDR and staff report that I never knew, like not everything that's statute related is in NRS. So Keith, thank you. Ann, thank you for giving us Keith. But I also want to thank the Dwight's and Candy's and Joel's, you know, and Denny's and Jack's and Bob's that have participated along the way and saying, yeah, we've got to do something. We hope this is it. And again, I'm going to close my part by stressing again, it's not a failure of the commission. It's not a failure of Commissioner Millard, Rail Commissioner Millard, or Rail Commissioner McGuffey, or Kroll, or Tyson, you know, or any of the rest. It is really, if there is failure involved in my wording, it is just failure to really deliver the results that I think Virginia City is looking for. And I'll let Joel from the Carson City CBB address what their folks might be looking at on that end of the line. So that is my presentation, commissioners, if you have any questions. And I'd ask that we try to get Candy's comments on the record since she's here and is a wealth of knowledge.
Sure. Did you want to weigh in on anything, Jack, before I ask for public comment?
I think Pat really covered most, you know, most areas okay. that I wanted to cover. I do want to thank Pat for jumping in and creating the BDR to kind of get the ball rolling. Appreciate your support there.
Okay, so I'm going to open this up for public comment now. And so, Candy, would you like to start out? Let's ask all of our guests who come in to speak, and when you reach the podium, if you go ahead and identify yourself for the record so that we, the clerk can get you into the minutes. And, good morning. Thanks for being here today.
Good morning. Thank you. Candy Duncan, project coordinator for the V&T Railway. And I must say that I appreciate the concern of Mr. Witten and others up here in the Virginia City community about the V&T Railway and whether or not you perceive it as a success. I don't want to go into a long presentation, but I was the former director of the Carson City Convention and Visitors Bureau for 22 years. And early in my career at that entity, we began discussing what we could do to make Carson City stand apart from other areas, from Reno, from Lake Tahoe, that competed against us in trying to get more visitors. And Mayor Texera at the time mentioned to us the possibility of reconstructing the train from Virginia City to Carson City. I took my family, never took them to Disneyland, but I took them to Durango, Silverton, for a trip on the railroad, and I caught the train flu and realized that this could be a tremendous asset to northern Nevada. So that's how we began our quest to reconstruct this railway. And, of course, as you mentioned, Mr. Witten, none of this would be possible without the Gray family, and I totally respect everything that the Gray family has done for the railroad. From my point of view, I believe every year since we began operation, revenue-producing operation in 2009, from my point of view, I think every year has been better than the last. It's not an easy thing to run a railroad, and it was never our plan to make a lot of money for the railroad. The plan was to make money for the region. We wanted to have a tourist attraction that would fill hotel rooms, that would fill restaurants, that would bring revenue into the northern Nevada region, and that would make us stand out as something apart. When you are in a state like Nevada, no one ever recognizes anything about it except Las Vegas. When you come from northern Nevada, you want to stand out. You want to have something that sets you apart, and that's what we always believed that the train would be. So I'm not sure, because my expertise is not in the political realm, if changing the makeup of the commission is going to help or hurt the success of the railroad. If it's going to help it, by all means, maybe that's something we need to do. I have to say that our chairman, Mr. Millard, has dedicated an extreme amount of his resources and time to helping make this project a success, and I think he's succeeded. This year, in 2015, I can tell you that we, between Polar Express and the regular season, had 23,549 passengers on the V&T Railway, and that is an all-time high. And Polar Express is a huge event. It does bring in, it does pay our bills. Thank goodness for the Polar Express. I can appreciate that Virginia City feels that it does not benefit them, but if it weren't for the money we make on Polar Express, we wouldn't be able to keep the railroad running. I can also tell you that I have had meetings with both Joel Dunn and Denny Dotson so that we can have more of a cooperative approach with the marketing, and I think that will help. I don't think this is a fair year to measure because you mentioned, Mr. Witten, that we had 111 passenger average. We can only hold 144 this year. So, yes, every single run we are losing money. But that's just the way this year is. We have plans for when we are at full capacity with the three cars, it's 216 passengers. And we know things that work and things that don't work. I'm looking forward to working more with Denny and Joel and putting together more cooperative marketing. I'm not sure when you say that it hasn't benefited Virginia City the way you wish it would have, or maybe Joel would say that about Carson City. I think we can do a better job, most definitely, in our marketing. We can also promote on our ticketing site more than just the train. We can also sell tours. We can sell vouchers for meals. We can sell room packages. We can do a lot more with it. So I'm looking forward to working with both Joel and Denny to see that come about. I think it's an important project for the region. I don't think it should be abandoned. I think lots and lots of great people have worked really hard to get us to where we are, and I think it has a good future. So I appreciate your interest in the project and wish us all luck, but I think it would be a tragedy if we didn't continue with this great project.
Well, thank you, Candy, but I don't think any intention is to do away with this project. Our approach in county government, Surrey County, is to run government like a business, and so when you see you're losing money almost every single day, and on average we do lose money every single day, we look at it from a business standpoint, say, okay, how can we make this better? And one thing is like by eliminating counties who participate on the board who don't participate financially is one way to get it, is to whittle it down. I was on the on the foundation for the reconstruction of the railroad for many years, and when Henry Bland was a commissioner from Story County that sat on that board, he had me appointed to the foundation, which was the fundraising arm of the foundation, which we struggled for years to raise any money. And after 7 years, I became frustrated and left, and I said, the only way this railroad is ever going to work is by taxpayer-funded means, and that's how it ended up being. And the foundation was instrumental in the legislation to get a lot of things done with the money from the license plate and avenues like that. But we went ahead and lobbied the legislature to bring in Washoe County and Douglas County because we thought we would get cooperation from the casinos in Reno, Sparks, and South Lake Tahoe because we figured that, and this is a collective organization of volunteers, non-paid volunteers, saying, we think this will work. And so we thought that these casinos would say, we see the benefit of this because it'll hold them for one more room night to stay in our casinos. Stephen Esquaga from John Esquaga's was on the foundation board there, and we had other people. Like we had Bob Cashel was on there. We had Patty Sheehan, the skier. Somebody put on the letterhead who were members of this board. It never panned out. The only person who casino was the Atlantis Casino in Reno, John Farahi. He gave up his convention room for us to put on performances there. When Lorraine Hunt, the former lieutenant governor, she was a performer in Las Vegas. She did a show. Former county commissioner Ted Short, his daughter was a comedian. She did a show. So they put on events like that. Carson City did wine tastings and stuff. They did all of this work and raised no money.
I remember.
And then at the end, when I, after I left, the foundation was going to the board asking for money to keep them alive. And it's like, wait a minute, this is going the wrong direction. So to ask Douglas County, Lyon County, and Washoe County to step aside because they don't have any skin in the game, that whittles it down by three right there. So if we can form a more cohesive board for people who do have skin in the game and work it like that, I think that's a better, well-rounded organization to look after what's the best means for us, because we probably can't run this at a profit. Tourist trains generally do not make any money. But both Carson and Story counties are subsidizing this tourist train, and we might always have to subsidize it. But I think if we could get our losses down to a minimum, I think that would be better. And instead of receiving invoices for bills on locomotive repairs that were done a couple years ago, it's like, a couple years ago, how come they weren't submitted to us at the time that these repairs were done? The memorandum of understanding is on how it's supposed to work has never been adhered to by the current board. So we are frustrated with the way that the current board has been operating, and that's why we don't want to eliminate this train, but we want to have more of a hands-on experience with this. We've been responsible for a lot of revenue going into this with only one voting person. Carson City, I know, has a lot of skin in the game. They raised their room tax by 2% to fund $5 million of bonding to cross the Overman Pit, institute an 8% sales tax. I'm familiar with all this because I've been involved with this a long time. And I think when Dwight was president, I think, of the Realtors Board in Carson City, I think your organization put $50,000 a year into the kitty just to keep it alive for the first many years, didn't you? And that's when Norm Williams over at Nevada Development Authority, whatever that was called, District Development Authority, was first getting it started when Harry Reid brought in ICE-T funds. When they first started, the beginning phase of this went on to geotechnical studies and all of this environmental assessment studies. It carried on and on and on. And here we are. So we have, no matter what we do, we have to do something different if it's going to satisfy this board.
I appreciate that.
May I just briefly
sure.
add?
And I don't want you to take this as a scolding in any means at all, because we've had a lot of pent-up conversations about what we think about running a tourist train. But anyway.
And I want to add, and I think Chairman McBride said it extremely well, and you have too. I take no exception to anything you have said about the importance. And again, while we have tried to get the attention of the Rail Commission, you know, by saying, and not Dwight, and not any individual commission, that man over there gets it. Jack gets it, Bob gets it, many others do. It's what is the extent of their involvement, and who should we have involved? I do want to take exception just to one fact, okay? And the fact is, you know, I don't want to overemphasize the handicap of running engine 29 and two cars as opposed to running engine 18, the commissions, and three cars. Just a little factoid, because I think, again, these are the types of things that a more dedicated, focused board, smaller, you know, will have the opportunity to not only digest but work through by then giving those numbers and working with Tom and everybody. But here's just a comparison to 2015 that, you know, I got, and I was shocked. So in 15, we had three cars because we had 18.
Right.
We're averaging 111 this year. We averaged 146 in 15 for the same exact period of time. So keeping in mind, apples to apples, you know, we ran three cars. Now, if I recall, the load factors on the cars are 70 and 70 roughly. So we had 140. We had six souls that we didn't have room for. Now, I know that doesn't happen every day, every run, but I will tell you that if there were only approximately 35% of the total runs within that period, as the data is telling me, that actually even needed a third car because you were over the 144 number, then that's more fuel and wear and tear on the other 65% of those runs. So I think the reality of the world is everything you're saying is right. We just need to bring the right brains together, and that's what I think this board does. No disrespect to the brains of John Tyson or most all of your other board. You know I have one exception, but I won't bring him into it. But I would tell you, your marketing skills as the project director, I keep blowing that, I'm sorry, and the marketer, Denny's, Joel's, together with Dwight, Bob, and Jack, I think are ideal. And if it is to fly, I would hope that we may not get the commission endorsement of this because we're talking about balancing 4 out of 9. But actually, we're talking about bouncing 6 out of 9 when you really think about it, since we're replacing 2. But, you know, when the day's done, I totally agree with our chairman, is we need to focus on fixing this and making it be what it potentially has the right and opportunity to be. So.
Okay. Thank you, Candy.
Yeah. I'll weigh in on that, of what you just said there, Pat. And it's no disrespect to the people on the board now. And I really, really like Dwight being the chair of this board. The change we want to do is we want to get the key people in there that will have a direct impact, and that's the tourism. It's a tour train, so we want tourism people on the board. That's pretty much what it is, and then a county representative. It's like I said, nothing against the personnel on the board now. We just want to, we're trying to make this better and more efficient, and that's what we believe would help.
And one thing I definitely forgot that I want to add, that I think is very critical to this, as from a local government that's, you know, pretty darn experienced at analyzing budgets and numbers through folks like Hugh Gallagher and others, you know, when we look at the Rail Commission's annual budget and things jump out to us, and these are aggregate numbers and these are budgeted numbers as I understand them to be, so they aren't pure, but $150,000 a year, about, is paid to an entity under 2 or 3 different categories for the staffing of the Eastgate Depot on rail days, and that's necessary. I understand that, but equally for bookkeeping services, for, you know, non-accountant accounting purposes. One of the two local governments would be happy to do that if there was a structure in place that we could get the data. However, in at least recent memory, and I'm kind of looking for Mr. Gallagher, Jack, and perhaps even Joel to confirm, we've had difficulty even getting numbers. Bob's reports this year are probably the first quality numbers we've really ever seen and that we've been able to work with, and not only work with, but add in there, okay, you're telling us what you're grossing each run. You know, what are your gross expenses, at least to the operator? Because that's a big piece. They don't have an operator. Right now, they don't have an engine. And to the best of my knowledge, they don't have cars. They're the B&T's cars, your cars. But, you know, I think it's very important that, let's say out of the $150,000, we might be able to take 100 of that and make it go straight to the bottom line if, you know, our comptroller has already expressed a willingness, agrees to step in and take over the books. It may not be free. We may have to buy a few program enhancements to our existing backbone, but that's the stuff we do normally. So.
Okay, let's go back to public comment. Who's next?
Thank you. For the record, Joel Dunn, the Executive Director of the Carson City Visitors Bureau. I'm not here on behalf of the City of Carson City. I think, as you're aware, we work independent of the city and the state in Carson City. I also think that the Commission and members of the audience are aware about 3.5 years ago, The board for the CCVB in Carson City decided to go in a much different direction. I was hired to come in, do some rebuilding and rebranding of how we sell ourselves to potential visitors in Carson City. There was also a perception at that time that the Visitors Bureau was somewhat washing their hands of anything other than just the financial obligation with the V&T Railroad, being that the lodging properties were not perceiving that there was any return on the investment for what was being provided. I can tell you that isn't true. We're certainly doing our part. If you're looking at what we have as far as skin in the game, you're correct. I think the chairman noted that there was a 2% allocation towards the bonding for the reconstruction. During the downturn of the economy, there was an additional 2% of, at that time, a 10% room tax in Carson City to cover the shortfall of that bond payment. At any given time, Carson City Visitors Bureau was contributing upwards of $650,000 towards just making the bond payments. In addition to that, the Bureau itself was taking on a great portion of the operation, from ticket sales and pretty much most of the marketing side of it. That did change about 3.5 years ago with the formation of a new board and the hiring with myself as a new executive director. As of September of last year, we did refund the bond, and that bond payment did drop. The current bond payment's roughly $360,000. That will grow to the sunset of the bond in 2023-24 to a little over $400,000 a year that we are still obligated to pay towards that bond payment. In addition to that, when the city of Carson City did their tax override, there was in good faith a commitment from room tax, from the operation of the Visitors Bureau, of a minimum of another $100,000 to be paid to the city each year. During the downturn of the economy, that did go upwards of about $250,000 at times. Now, the Bureau still is working and supporting the operation of the V&T. We contribute to special projects with some of the reserves and the carryover between those two funds. So there is two separate funds allocated just for the V&T, one for the bond payment and one for additional operations. As of September of last year, I did allocate an additional $250,000 towards the marketing effort to have an inherent opportunity to benefit the V&T Railroad. That's a Ride Carson City campaign, and there's several segments to that. That being said, I mean, I certainly can speak on behalf of my board, and it's no surprise that my board has called question to any measured return on the investment. I think initially in front of the legislature, it was said that this would become an economic engine of upwards of $9 million for Carson City a year, kind of the end-all, save-all. And it simply hasn't become that. But we can't wash our hands of it. This is a huge asset for Carson City. It's a huge asset for the region. And I do think that there is some needed change. I think that change, getting some of the different players to the table that have the stakeholders, they have an investment in this and can bring a level of skill set and maybe expertise that's not currently part of that board. So that being said, I know that my board would move forward in support of change. Having an opportunity to have the executive director of both Virginia City and Carson City on hand with that board, I think brings, once again, a level of expertise that you can go through the rebranding and change your strategies of marketing so that we can make it more of a regional destination that will have an inherent opportunity to have a more significant return on investment. So, that being said, we continue to work with Mr. Millard and Mrs. Duncan, and we've got a great working relationship. We'll continue to do so, and Carson City is certainly not looking at washing their hands of this project.
Very good.
Okay. And I think one thing Joel said that has reminded me of yet another factor in why we want to do this. You know, the initial vision and foresight that the Rail Commission had, you know, I applaud the Henry Blands and everybody else through the years. But, you know, it's time after however long it's been, 20-plus years, 1993, 03-13, yeah, 23 years by my count. It's time to step back and take a look and say, okay, what did we vision versus what's reality so far, and then how do we go forward? And I think, Chairman McBride, you shared with me, and I haven't had a chance to view it yet, you know, kind of a marketing DVD, if you will, back in the day, you know, that envisioned and hoped for that impact that Joel references. I think of up to almost three runs a day, 7 days a week, or something along those lines. And the realities of the world are right now, we get Saturdays and Sundays during the tourist season, and then we're getting Fridays. I'm not sure what the methodology there is, but I got to tell you, I applaud it at the project, Tom and everybody, because the Friday numbers, when you statistically track those, are looking pretty darn good. So, you know, to go from three runs a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, whatever that plan was, that I'll watch the DVD and speak more knowledgeably of it, to what we have, which is, I agree with Joel, it's a great asset. We just have to be able to, in some respects, reinvent it. Joel mentions rebranding. We got a brand and work with Tom on branding. I mean, you know, he's got a brand out there that I think is massive. I mean, you know, I don't know how many books are out on the Rail Commission. I can tell you there's multiple books on the Virginia Trucking Railroad and the yellow and green, you know, cars. So thank you for reminding me of that. And I look forward, and I know Denny does, to working with the CCCBB. I mean, you know, this is a great opportunity. One of the things that somebody has come up with, I believe Commissioner McGuffey, if you look at the run on Saturday of Hot August Nights, the train run, when we had 320, 330 some odd participants just registered cars, so you got to multiply that times two in our cars, my car for one, but, you know, we had that many people up here. We had 81 passengers on board. And I think with the collective brain power of Candy, Joel, Denny, and their folks, their team, you know, you can envision cooperative marketing campaigns appearing in both CCCVB, Virginia City, the V&T Railroad. They said, are you an old car buff, but no old car? You know, come on up and spend three and a half hours, whatever we ultimately work with, you know, to do that. So I think there are a number of dynamite programs that you marketing brains can come up with that'll help better the bottom line.
Any questions for Joel?
No. Thank you for coming, Joel. Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
All right. Continuing on. More public comment. Ms. Bark.
Bless you. Bless you.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. I think this all sounds good. I've been an advocate of trying to bring more control, you know, dating back to my questions 3-4 years ago on this. But I have one question today. We're talking about a railroad, and I hear that it's going to get restructured from the 9 down to 5. That makes sense. I hear marketing being talked about. I hear branding being talked about. But there's nobody on the commission that knows how to run a railroad. I think there's only one person in this room that knows how to run a railroad. So my question is, you know, all the brightest marketing minds in the world can sell a particular product without the actual engineer that manufactures it knows how it runs and can tweak it or fix it. I think your team is possibly incomplete. I know that you can have subcommittees and this and that and the other, but the subcommittee does not provide direct, well, talk about skin in the game. The equipment skin in the game on this end of that line is Tom Gray. So my question to you is, did you consider having him on the commission as the content expert of what it really takes to run a railroad?
May I answer that?
Yeah, I wish you would.
You know, the extent of considering anybody from the V&T Railway, about as far as I want to go with it today, is to say absolutely we've considered many options. Another reality of the world is that the BDR submittal, I'd probably be willing to make a bet on the fact that if this passes, that this won't be the necessary BDR outcome. I would hope it would be. Needless to say, you know, we've thought about that. Keeping in mind that, and I'm trying to be very, very, not generous, but accurate with what I say. I mean, you know, the realities of the world are we have one rail operator. You know, they tried looking at somebody else, and I don't want to get into the history of the other railroad because there's probably a lot I don't know. But in reality, having the operator, also on the governing board of the project, you know, may also pose some level of question. Not that Tom's not capable and knowledgeable, but my experience is working with Tom, and therefore I'm going to say Denny's, and if not Denny's, better be, and Candy's, and Dwight's, you know, and Jack's, and everybody passed, is the realities of the world are Tom's an active voice regardless of whether he's on the board or not, and a respected voice. And having really almost your sole source provider, and God help us when Tom decides to, you know, not light up the boilers anymore, but I would say the current approach we're taking is as sound or sounder than what you're proposing, because Tom does sit on an operations committee, and granted that's the subcommittee that you refer to, but it's a very powerful one and should be more and more powerful with the Dwights of the world, Tom, Candy. I think you're going to see Denny and Joel active if they aren't, and hopefully the right people. That operations committee really is, you know, kind of the engine of this thing. And whether Tom's the chair of that or not is up to that committee, but I got to tell you, you know, when Tom speaks, everybody listens regardless of whether he's on the board. So that's my answer.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. More public comment.
Denny Dodson, Tourism Director here in Virginia City, and I really welcome this with open arms. One of my favorite things to do when I find a little time is to sneak down to Tom's shop down there and kind of watch his guys recreate things that you can't go down and buy at a hardware store. To me, it's fascinating, and I wish I had more time to just go down there and do a few things. It's something that I've always been interested in. But one thing that being in a private sector for many years before I came to work for Story County is, and then get involved in tourism, I realized real quick, and Joel kind of alluded to it with his comments about managing the budget side, tourism is a return on investment if it's managed correctly. If you do it right, you spend the money, you invest in it, don't cut it. It's the last thing you want to cut, because if you do it right, you'll drive the number. And I think that's our bottom line. All we're looking at doing here is just cutting the fat out, getting this thing headed in the right direction with the people that are involved the most, and making it work for the entire region. It is a regional product. A lot of people come here. They want to go to Tahoe. They want to come to Carson City or Virginia City, Reno, and do the whole thing during a week's vacation. So it all comes together. So, again, tourism is an investment, and I see this as a very positive thing. So.
Thanks, Danny. Okay, Bruce, you had your hand up.
Commissioners, Bruce Kittis, Carson City resident. Just a self-appointed V&T observer. I've been going to the meetings since the city passed the bond issue in 2005. I've only missed a few meetings. I think Jack Greenlaw, Jack's still here?
Yes.
Good. Jack and I have probably been to more meetings than any of your commissioners. Certainly a good idea or time to reduce the number. You have, Chairman Marshall, you have the luxury of only having two commissioners to talk to. Try having 8, 9 people on the board. We've watched those meetings. I mean, 9 is way too many. In my humble opinion, if Millard hadn't come along and taken over, this would have been out of business long ago. From Carson City's perspective, there's still $11 million of principal to pay off. If you take principal, the total of the payments, principal and interest, we've probably got $50 million invested in it, not to mention the years where we had $150,000, $200,000 that had to supplement the revenue to pay off the bonds, and nobody has mentioned anything that about the time the train started, we've been in a recession, and it's been tough times, and we've gone to meetings and chastised our supervisors about having to spend extra money. So, you know, good idea, change the commissioners apart, but it still comes back to in the very beginning. Here was Tom Gray. The family had operated a train for 30 years, and the government folks, the big shots, they knew more about running the train than he did. So a lot of the things that we're stuck with today are because they didn't pay attention to Tom in 2005 and 2006 when they were trying to build it. Not only that, but not only did they not pay attention how to operate it or to build it, but then they tried to get rid of them. And we're going to put it out and get somebody else, not to mention that if you get somebody else to run the train, did you have, who owned the track to Virginia City? Did you have a shop to be able to take care of it? Anyway, we've watched this, but it is a good idea to have your BDR, because only the legislature can change the makeup. I would think it would, there would be some meetings ahead of time that would be very important, because there are some issues that I don't think you're aware of that would probably be best discussed before having to go to a legislative committee. But anyway, we love Carson City, and we love the V&T and Virginia City. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce. Go ahead, Jack.
From my perspective, Tom's role in this is probably one of the most important. He keeps the trains running. As far as I'm concerned, Tom's not going anywhere. His role remains exactly as it is. And we do listen to him. Thank you.
Great. More public comment. Tom? You're not going to read that whole thing, are you?
Commissioners, for the record, my name is Dwight Millard. I'm the governor's appointee to the train commission. I got that curse from him somehow. When I first got appointed, the train was ready to run, and we made the inaugural run in 2009 in August, as a lot of you remember. In 2010 was our first full season, so this is our seventh year of operations. In 2010, I believe I rode every single train that came to Virginia City. I'm not against changing up the makeup of the commission to five members. That could very easily be helpful. I found nine sometimes advantageous, because I can meet with four of them and I don't have a quorum. So I take the four important ones and let the other five guys, they're my logger, if you will. They just allow me to meet and do the things I want. There's a lot of misinformation here today, and I'm not going to go into all of it. But I dare want to say a couple of things. As long as I've been on this commission and we ran the train the way we did, I think what's important for you to know is that we are running it as effectively and as efficiently as we think we can. The money that we asked for from the counties was for a subsidy, was to allow the train to continue running, was primarily earmarked in our request to both the counties as advertising dollars. It doesn't do any good to run the train every day if we don't somehow advertise that train that's running. So your money really was being spent that way. Now, we've alluded to some of the monies that's been collected in the last few years. Those monies are still in the coffers in Virginia City. I don't believe that any money has been paid to the commission since 2010 when you re-upped your tax bond. So I just want to be clear on some of the things that are out there. Now, Tom Gray is one of my very best personal friends. He tried to kill me at one of the train conventions by giving me an airborne and no water. And he about killed me. But I still think that he is probably the key to operating the train. Now, I heard the word, we need to fix this. And, gentlemen, I would sit down with any of you and ask you politely to tell me, What is it that you think is broke that needs to be fixed? Is it the ridership? What is it? You have to delineate it before we can fix it. I've gotten angry at the last two commission meetings. I've gotten angry at the mayor of Carson City, Bob Crow, and I'll get angry at you. The problem is with you guys, the entities, not accepting the responsibility of what the train is really here for and what you're doing about it. Susan Sutton, one of your former tourism directors, sat on our operating committee until she left Story County. She came to every meeting. She was involved in trying to say, what can we do in Virginia City to make this train more of an enhancement? Rather than a train ride, what is it more than that? Since she left, I never saw anybody. So how are you going to beef if you don't come to the meetings? Now, we have an operating committee that meets, and we typically meet almost every month. Tom Gray's a part of it. We can't plan a special train to Virginia City without talking to Mr. Gray. He's got restrictions on hours of work and things to do, so he's obviously an integral part of it. So let me tell you what I'd like to see come out of today's meeting. Changing the board is fine. That isn't going to change or fix your problem, but I'm okay with five members. But I think what you need to do is you need to get together with Carson City and Reno and say, okay, this is a tourist attraction, and it's a tourism thing, and our tourism director and their tourism director and the RSCVA and Reno all need to be involved in making this a better regional attraction. That's the bottom line as far as I can see. I think that the train today, I can stand here and I can tell you, I don't think the train needs another dollar from Virginia City. So if you're looking for your return on your investment, I think we can make the train operable. The Polar will have to offset the losses of the train running up here. I've gotten asked from residents in Virginia City, what does a Polar do for us? Well, the Polar allows us to run trains all summer long up here, and they still are a tourist attraction, if you will. So I think what has to come out of today is whatever you want to do with that. I think what eventually has to happen is that the tourism people have to understand what this is, and it's a tourist train, and if you want to make it a valuable for that, then that's fine. But I don't know what else that can be done. Carson City is currently doing our books. They write the checks. You want to write the checks? Okay. We can move them up here.
Well, can I interrupt you for a second there, Dwight? If Carson City's been doing the books, I mean, for years we never got an audited financial out of the Railroad Commission.
There's an audited financial every year?
No, and it was being delayed, and it was being delayed, being delayed. We never received anything for years at this board.
But when you say you don't receive anything, I got every single one of them, and they've been passed out at the meeting.
Well,
is there a special mailing list that we have missed here or something?
I don't know. When our comptroller would attend your meetings, there was no financial available. When Commissioner McCarthy would attend, there was no financials. For three years, we never saw anything. It's only now that we're starting to see any numbers coming out of your commission.
Right. Those numbers have been there all along.
But you guys wouldn't turn them over to us.
Your treasurer
would do a treasurer's report and have no information at a board meeting. So when you tell me that they're available, how come we never got a copy of it?
There's an audited statement every single year. By law, we do that.
Well, but it was always being delayed. It was always an extension. This is what we heard at this board for 3 years, Mr. Mulder.
Wait a minute. That's what you've heard at this board.
Yeah.
Is that the truth?
Well, I don't have any reason to believe that my staff would lie to us, Mr. Mulder.
Well, I'm here to tell you there's an audited report every single year that's turned into the state.
Explain to me why this commission's never received it.
I didn't give you one.
Okay. I guess not, because we're not on your special mailing list.
Well, I don't know. You have a representative that comes here, and you've had one as long as I've been on the commission.
And has never been able to obtain.
What do you mean they've never been able to obtain that?
Because they were always told it was unavailable. It hadn't been done. There was an extension being done. The auditors didn't have it done yet.
Well, I think there's some real heart-hurt feelings up here.
Well,
and I can feel them, but
if we can't get an audit to finance it, there are hurt feelings. That's right. And that's why we've decided to take some action, because we don't think that we're getting accurate information out of
okay.
the board.
Okay, and I gave to your county manager a report that shows this is a Tiger II grant, and it's just good for history to show. When Carson City, out of the $39 million, at this time this was written, Carson City had put in 21 of a million. Story County put in 1.2 million, and which is a less than or around 6%. And so I'm not really sure what you all want up here for your 6%. And
well,
we're certainly
that asking for an audited financial statement is too much to ask for.
Okay.
For easily 6%.
Okay.
I think I might have to go ahead and challenge you on that.
Okay. And unfortunately, Kevin's passed away, but I'm here to tell you that I think there are emails with the data that was requested for every piece of data that was ever requested. I've seen emails where we have supplied data three times. Three times, Mr. Chairman. And there was an actual request by Story County to do an audit, and I don't know who we're auditing or for what reason. And then the commission asked to audit the money up here. The money that you guys raise on your 0.25% sales tax is, I think, according to the actual draft, goes to the commission. That's commission money. And until just recently, when you re-upped it, the money came directly to us. It went directly into our account.
And if we go back and we read the memorandum of understanding, that money goes to you upon request from your commission to this commission. If you have a monetary shortfall in a given month, you are to request in writing from this commission those funds. In the past, no, you've used these funds that have been deposited in your account as simply as your piggy bank.
No, that's not true.
It is true.
No, it's not.
Well,
and
it
we
true.
Didn't use it prior. We haven't used it since you re-upped the commission, re-upped your sales tax, because you keep the money up here.
Why do we do that? Because you guys have never, ever done a formal request like you're bound to under the Memorandum of Understanding.
But the Memorandum of Agreement came into effect at the same time. The Memorandum of Agreement wasn't in effect the last 10 years when we were collecting the tax.
Okay.
That Memorandum of Agreement.
We're going to look into that.
Okay. Well, if you're unhappy, I can resign and you guys can take over the train.
I'm not asking you to resign, your testimony you need to hear wasn't supposed to go ahead and cause argument between us. It's simply to go ahead and figure out the best way to go forward. As we're looking at the finances that your commission has, we think we can better it up by helping eliminate some of these expenses. You guys have ongoing expenses on an annual basis, which we think that we can either reduce or eliminate at this end.
Well, and you may. But I wish somebody would have come and sat down and talked with me and said, hey, you know what? So I don't find the argument here, and certainly public argument isn't going to get us anywhere. But I'm sorry that you guys feel this way, because I think the people who have been running the train have been doing an outstanding job at the best dollar price to try to run the train. And even though we lose money this year, has been a challenge because we lost one car. And even though you can say that doesn't make a difference, it does on the days that you're sold out. Take that third car and fill it three times and see what it does to the average of your trains, the math of it. So anyway, thank you for your time.
Yeah, Chairman.
Dwight, I had one thing to say. First of all, I appreciate all you do for the train. And I remember, I always reflect back to my first meeting on the board with you, and your comment directly to me is, Story County needs to get involved and get something going up here to help the train cause. And that's what we're doing. That's what this is all about. That's why we got the, it's a tour train. That's why we've got the tourism guys. And this is how we draw them in and then hold their feet to the fire to make it happen. And that's it. Thank you. I appreciate everything you do.
And I'd ask that you stay here, because this is exactly, stay at the podium, please. Discretion of the chair, because this is exactly what I hope to avoid and exactly why I went out of my way to say it's not your failure, it's not any one commission's failure. And I wrote down so many random notes as you spoke that I'm going to try to hit on them with, again, my intent not wanting to be controversial or or argumentative. It's to be constructive, which is the whole purpose of this. So, again, just to respond to certain things, you said in your opening remarks there's been, and I don't know if you said quite a bit or some misinformation here. I would ask specifically at some point in time, you can do it after the meeting, I didn't even know what that information is because I've gone out of my way to be very specific in my perspective of what this is. So I do take exception to that. Number two, and again, I need to validate this. I've got a comptroller in the back of the room flashing four at me, and I don't think he knows gang stuff. So I would tell you we've been withholding under our interlocal agreement with the Rail Commission since 2014, not since 2010, to the best of my knowledge. And please keep in mind that that interlocal agreement had a retroactive application geared towards helping us and people like Nicole and others that then went out and sold the quarter cent sales tax renewal because, to the best of my knowledge, unlike Parsons, ours needed to be voter approved. It sunsetted and it needed to be renewed back in the day. So there was a retro provision clearly outlined. My frustrations are, and I guess I'm going to name my names right now, or at least functional titles, is with your treasurer. Your treasurer, you and I, and Jack and Hugh and Bob Kroll and Nick Morano and others have sat and talked. Why? You say, I wish somebody would talk to you. And when the day is done, you know, we did. We've talked and we've talked. And we've agreed, and I'm going to be looking at Commissioner McGuffey, we'd agreed to conceptual numbers of stated by you and conceptually agreed to by us that we think we can get by with probably $100,000 from these entities. Today you're saying none and sign me up, I guess, but we want to support it. We just want to get out of it what we need. So if you're looking at, you know, a level, we can sit there and kick around $100,000, and then your treasurer turns around and escalates this to $300,000 or $350,000 and presents it in whatever level of budget presenting that he did. So I think our frustrations specifically are we have really not gotten anywhere despite those discussions. I'm a little incredulous that, you know, you would say, I wish somebody would talk to you, because I can tell you that on August 1st at 1 o'clock, up here in Virginia City, at the cider factory, you and I met together with Candy and Jack, and we pretty much outlined this. In fact, oddly enough, at that time, I kind of had in my mind the initial concept of three. You mentioned five for the quorum reasons that you said. I think we collectively worked together to say it'd be nice to get the tourism brain power involved in this for the reasons that you've outlined. And as you can tell, I think both Carson City and Virginia City are all in on this, should it ever go that way. So I'm saying we've talked, and we've talked well before that, and I'm sure we will talk throughout this entire process because we are supportive. You know, when the day's done, what I had hoped not to do is I'm going to simply say, fix what? Fix past mistakes. You can't fix the mistakes, but you can stop from doing them by a board of nine, some with their own individual, I'm just going to call them agendas, okay? There's nothing shady going on, but you've got rail hobbyists in there that probably aren't necessarily the best business people in the world on planet Earth, or one in specific. And you've done things, the commission, the project, you probably weren't even there. Have we or have we not bought, as a commission with taxpayer dollars, rail cars that we never used? And subsequently, we've liquidated. That's my understanding. Did we or did we not, collectively as a group, Story County too, not as a governing board, did we or did we not buy Draco, because eventually we were going to go down the canyon and meander back up and subsequently sell it recently for a loss? And I guess, you know, I guess I could continue on with those types of questions, but I think a smaller group, including yourself, because again, the worst thing that I think could happen to this organization is for you to get upset and angry and resign, because I've been there with you to greet those Saturday and Sunday trains. I've run the train on the high railer with Tom and everybody. So I get your commitment to this, and we want to work, but really we also want to begin to move forward with the process. And the 2017 session, this is really our only hope and option. Otherwise, we're dead in the water for two more years.
That's it.
Madam DA.
Mr. Millard, Ann Langer, district attorney. And I've been involved with this legally probably since I started January 5th, 2015. And I think where there might be some of the confusion about the numbers is that Chairman McBride mentioned the memorandum of understanding that was entered into between Carson and Story County. In that memorandum of understanding, there were specific things that Story County was going to receive as a result of the 0.25% sales tax that they were putting into the agreement. There was going to be that something about renovating at Tunnel 6 and purchasing
the freight depot.
The freight depot. So what was happening is there was specific language on how Story County's money was going to be used in this endeavor, and it was very specific. So it talked about, I mean, it was a very complicated, you know, the square root of the longitude of the latitude equals pi r squared, meaning that you take the operations, you pay the wages, you do this, you do that, and you've got a certain formula as to when our money came in. So I think what's happening that Chairman McBride and you're talking about the actual budgets that are in question here, the actual budget as far as monies that are being spent, we finally did get a general breakdown, but we didn't get the breakdown in order to be able to use the formula that was supposed to be used on when we were supposed to pay. So I think that that might have been part of the breakdown when you're saying one thing, that there's a budget every month that is showing these specific expenses and things like this. And I think what we're talking about is the breakdown. Something's louder than me. Hey. So I think that's something that needs to be looked at, because when I hear both of you talking about this, I really think it's that you're talking about two different things that I've been, you know, at least looking into myself. And there were numerous meetings with certain board members when you were not present where these requests were made, but that information never came like that. All we'd get is a general breakdown of the train is behind $200,000 at the end of the year, you know, something that would show, you know, liabilities and assets, but not the formula that we needed to pay what we thought we should. So I think that's something to be looking at. I think it's really something, one of the main things that needs to be looked at, because I think it's really unfair for both of you, because I think you're talking about two different budgets.
With all due respect, that agreement is not with Carson City.
Exactly. It's with the Rail Commission.
Okay, so with the Rail Commission, that is why we've been holding on to our money until we were provided that information. So I apologize with Carson City, but with the Rail Commission, that is why that Story County has been holding on until we get this information. For some reason, every meeting that we would go to discuss this, we never received that information.
And while I don't necessarily want to differ with counsel, you know, I want to clarify at least from my perspective why I instructed the comptroller not to remit funds. In part lies with exactly what she's saying, for the most part lies with what Commissioner McBride has said, is no one from the commission, not your treasurer, not your financial person, Kevin, God rest his soul, or Bob, or whoever that may be, no one has said that, you know, we've had an operational shortfall, which is a specified term of that interlocal agreement. So I would, you know, I would tell you, nothing's been done. We've never been notified. We can debate on receiving the auditor's statements or not, and I would respect and agree with you, you know, hypothetically, but you know, when the day's done, we hammered out an interlocal. We know, you and I know better than probably anybody, because I can't think of anybody else other than Mike Rowe, perhaps, that, you know, understands what we were trying to accomplish back in the day. And that was to let the monies raised in Story County go to Story County rail projects globally. We've recently invested, I would tell you off the top of my head, $150,000, $175,000, $200,000 in the Gold Hill Depot, trying to get that up to a venue again now that we've taken control of that. And what we're trying to do is honor the intent of that, in my opinion, and the language in it that says monies raised in Story County will go to Story County rail projects unless notified otherwise by the commission or the treasurer or whatever processes were outlined in there of an operational shortfall in any given month.
Right.
And Mr. Whitten, I agree with you, and I am not aware of any written request for any funds.
Nor am I.
The operations, we currently there has been discussion that the Rail Commission would like to have an underwriting next year or in subsequent years. But currently there is no demand for any of that money
right.
whatsoever. There has been discussion of $100,000 or $75,000 a year continuance, and there was a request by me in verbally, not in writing, to say, hey, let's forget all the past, everything else, help us with the engine. The engine's going to cost us over $400,000 probably to refurbish it. And we had asked for a $300,000. And I got that from the discussions that supposedly happened between Kevin Reyes when he was alive and Ron Allen and other people. And I wasn't in those meetings, so I don't know. But I was just told that they had said that Story County would pay that. And so at the meeting that you and I had with Carson City, I just said, hey, let's do a one-time thing, and then let's come up with a flat number every year and leave it at that, and all the monies then stay in Virginia City from then on.
And conceptually, you know, we're on the same page here, so I hope we can continue
yes.
down that track.
Yes.
Conceptually, I believe Jack and I and Hugh said, that's a palatable number. You know, let's work on it. And as I recall, we even had, you know, additional potential funding discussed, I think raised by me specifically, that said, if we know every 15 years the 18's got to go in the shop, something I've learned recently talking with Tom is there's been the opportunities maybe to acquire other key stock like 25 and 8, things I don't even know about. I'm lucky to remember 18 and 29, but you know, there are opportunities there that maybe we and we alone, given what CCCVB and Carson City does with that one-eighth of a sales tax, keep in mind, I think that's their commitment, I can't remember, I don't think it's CCCVB's, but, you know, that's a huge chunk of money, and I think we're not saying we don't want to spend any money down there. The spirit, the intent and structure of the interlocal was let it come back here unless, and I like your approach of 75, maybe we take 25 apiece, you know, Carson City and us, and we reserve fund it for the next time the 18's got to go under its recertification. Maybe we start being open to Tom, and I'm not saying you, I'm not saying anybody, because I don't know when these things come up, but if Tom says, you know, man, I can make the motor car work, you know, and do some pretty cool things if I had some help. We've got at least two engines that I know of that have been and may still be in play that, you know, I'm sure that man right there would be willing to help us all. And as you know, you called him a dear friend. I'm going to call him a great professional friend. And I admit to being guilty back in the day where I probably got, if not caught up, you know, stuck with a move to go ahead and run him out, as somebody's referred to earlier. And yet, despite that, he's still here. He's still got a great operation going. And watching him work with you and me and others, despite some of that, is magic. So I hope we can continue to work on this. You know the legislative process as much, as good or better even than I do. And, you know, what we ask for may not be what we get. We know that there could be friendly amendments to the legislature, but we are looking to begin down the path of hopefully, if not fixing it, if that's an offensive phrase, making it even better.
Well, let me just final by saying I look forward to working with you. Marshall, I'm willing to sit down at any time. I'll bring up the audits if you want them. I just didn't know you would even read them. They're boring.
Yeah.
and they don't really match kind of what's going on. We really have a, I will tell you this. The train has come through a lot of difficult times. When I came on the commission was suing the Gray family. They were trying to take the logo away. They were, you know, there was a lot of junk going on. And even until recently, when we sold Draco, Draco was a weight around our neck that cost us nothing but money every month for utilities and insurance and everything else that we've eliminated. So it's taken us maybe 7 years to get there. I'm telling you, I've seen people and I've talked to people who flew from Germany, stayed in a hotel in Reno, came, rode the train, went back to Reno, got on an airplane and went home. They came here to ride the train. That's all they came here for. And when you talk to one person like that, you go, wait a second. How many billions of people are there in the world and how do I touch 1% of them with my advertising and get those people to come ride that train? And that's, I think, if we all keep that as our common goal, if we all stay focused on it, I think we can make the next 10 years better than the last 10.
I think D.A. Langer wanted to weigh in right here.
Just to let you know, Mr. Millard, I don't know if you have knowledge of this or not, but I remember that these two were at NACO last year, and there was a shortfall that needed to be paid right then and there for the train to be running the next weekend. And I know at that point, where is Comptroller Gallagher?
He stepped down.
So there was I know that there was an approval of a $100,000 check to go to the Rail Commission last year to cover costs to have the train continue running. Do you remember?
And Mr. Whitten, I think, brought that hand check carried down, and I was not aware of that. That was Kevin. We had an executive director that was a little bit rogue. He ran things outside of me a little bit. I mean, you'd have to admit that. And I'm under the assumption right now doing some research to see why we gave $24,000 back. You shake your head. I'm with Kevin, we were all kind of a little bit out of the loop, and the $100,000 check came back, and I think the next week $24,000 came back up. And I don't know why or what.
I don't know that part.
Well, I don't either, but I do know the check was written from Carson City. So that's about it.
And I think you and I and Jack and Candy have discussed all the wonderful opportunities that are ahead of us. You know, I mean,
let's look at this as an opportunity to run a train. You know, Mr. Gray's got.
I mean, the realities of the world are, you know, you've got a lot that we'd like to buy. You know, you've indicated, well, we ought to give that to you. You should have it anyway. And maybe if it would help with money in the coffers, we can go through the legal process of having it appraised. And the other one I like even better was the statement that I think I made at lunch that day that indicated, I think, we support ground transportation up here through the TC to the tune of about $10,000 a year. And you said, oh, well, that's stuff we should be paying for. And then if that's stuff that you want to pay for, then that's $10,000 more that we can plow into that advertising into Europe or wherever.
Well, one thing the commissioners need to know, and I think you know this, is when you came and asked for the commission to give you $250,000, which was to match $250,000 you had to buy a freight depot and put in the tunnel, the commission approved that, and also in that same motion approved giving you retroactive the sales tax. So from the beginning, as far as I've been on that commission, we've looked for Virginia City to have to make sure that the train ride experience doesn't quit at the end of our track. It continues through into Virginia City and everything that happens up here. So our mind is open. We feel that we have to support this. Now, Mr. Gray solved some of your problems here. It's not as emergent now to do what you have to do, but if you still want to do the freight depot and stuff, then that's what we're here to help support, as long as it's rail. We're here to help with the Gold Hill Depot. We've met there several times and talked about it, and how can we take advantage of that? So your clock isn't working, so I'll quit. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Dwight.
You've gone past your three minutes.
Tom Gray?
For the record, Tom Gray of the Virginia Truckee Railroad. Thanks for all the kind words. I know it's kind of maybe a turning point in the railroad's future, but I intend on being around for a few more years. But, you know, I look at my age and I look realistically around our shop, what I can get done in the future, and I go, I'm limited, you know, so I have to pick and choose certain things. And one of the bad news that I want to say to start, two bad news things. When I first presented a business plan to the Railway Commission, you know, I challenged the viability of the project. And one was, are people just going to want to drive to Virginia City instead of spending an hour and a half on a train, you know? And that's a competitive force why people won't want to ride the train. The good part is it's a really great trip, so people do want to ride the train from all over the world, and they have for the last 41 years. But we've always been undercapitalized in Virginia City, and, you know, the way my dad started was you buy some scrap rail and build, you know, phase one, phase two, then build a tunnel portal, build the next portal in the tunnel, and buy a piece of equipment, buy a tank car, and after 40 years, you know, it's almost been 50 years since we actually started, but we have 50 pieces of equipment now so that, you know, the next guy that comes after me is going to have an infrastructure that's set up. And the Rail Commission, you know, has built almost 12 miles of track, but they're only two-thirds done. You know, the whole idea was to get through that Carson River Canyon. That's one of the most scenic spots in the whole state. It's a secret. I mean, people don't know how beautiful that is, and as pristine. You know, that's not done. Our original vision was to build the railroad from Virginia City down to the old shops in Carson City, and those shops were probably the most significant structure in the state of Nevada. They're gone now, but that's downtown Carson City. The freeway's been developed by now. And so, you know, those were all the original plans. So I don't really have anything prepared to say, but, you know, so the future we have to be able to be maybe a little bit more leaner and certainly more frugal, and we have to be able to seize on any opportunity that does come our way and not make any mistakes with that. We don't have that many more, you know, that many more chances left. On the scalable business plan that I developed was, okay, what happens if we only have 50 riders that want to ride to Virginia City from Carson City? We have to figure a way how to get those 50 people up there. If we have 100 riders, how do we do that? If we have 150, or if we have 200? So basically, we figured out, with my expertise, we figured out a self-contained motor car was one way to keep the doors open and be profitable at least and pay the bills for 50 riders. Basically, we wanted to be able to haul one busload of people from Carson City to Virginia City anytime. And I cleared it with the Federal Railway Administration on the type of equipment, and I started that project. I bought a car in Virginia, and it's sitting there. It's on the to-do list, you know, but, you know, that's another undercapitalized thing that needs to get done, you know. And then we thought about running the diesel locomotives. You know, they're a lot cheaper to run than steam engines. So originally we were going to run Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sundays on the railroad, and that would help amortize out the insurance costs, the overhead, the employee costs. And then we cut it back to Fridays, and then we used to do diesel Fridays, and they were pretty effective, and they didn't cost as much. I didn't charge as much to do that. And then, you know, this year I'm limited. I have to take the steam engine out of Virginia service in Virginia City and put it on the commission trains, you know, for the Friday, Saturday, Sundays. So that's working out. But our ridership's down. Our ridership's down on the short line, too, this year. I would like to see maybe some staff improvements with the Railway Commission, especially the treasurer part. I think has to be clear and transparent, 100%. I would love anybody that would like to take the time to investigate what I charge or what I do. This week on the number 18, we're doing another repair on the boiler, which shouldn't have to do in 15 years from now. But right now I have a great gentleman helping me. He came in from Georgia, and he took part of the 18th boiler. He's in Utah right now on a McCabe flanger, flanging a new piece, and then we'll hot rivet that in. And we hot riveted in most of the door sheet. We have a big dry pipe sitting there, plus all the boiler tubes. And so hopefully the next go-around is not going to be near as difficult, but it's a 100-year-old machine. It's a 102-year-old machine, you know, so we keep putting the life back into it. But as we die off, there'll be another generation to do it, but, you know, they'll be farther removed from really how to do it. Tunnel number six, any, sorry.
Your call. I mean, you know, I think it's a good, it was a good idea at the time, it may be a good idea in the future, but I think currently the proactive moves you made, you know, with the Nary property and the, that was the passenger depot, I think it have mitigated and improved most everything greatly. I mean, looking back historically for me, I think many of us would love to get it closer maybe again to the Silverland or that property to benefit, but what you've done on your end is magnificent. So it's a good shelf project right now.
Gotcha, yeah. Marshall asked me to keep an open mind about it, and when I built those bathrooms, you know, I built them on an angle so that a future track could go through that Tunnel 6 project if, you know, the next guy or somebody needs to do it. So I hope that gave a little bit of additional perspective.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
I'm just going to say, well, Tom's here again. I've said it and said it, but that is the guy. That is the family. That is our operator. And, I mean, you can tell just some of the things he just spoke of yet again. When he speaks with knowledge that no one else can really have. While some may think they have it, not Dwight, not me, not others that are here today, maybe Jack to some degree. I know he knows a boatload of stuff, but that's the guy that we need to work very, very closely with on both the Rail Commission, the County Commission, the Tourism Commission, and all others as to how to really make it happen. So I love working with you.
Any other public comment? Jack, do you want to weigh in today? No? Okay.
I would just point out that should you approve this, and again, we're up against a deadline in terms of the technical wording of the BDR. So the main structure that I outlined in the staff report and on the agenda, you know, would include that we want to restructure it to five members, where those five members would hopefully come from by function, that we'd ask for that consideration. I can tell you again that as we work hopefully collaboratively with Dwight, Candy, and others, that, you know, you can focus on how to make it better and what it takes. We can change that through the legislative process. We can come back to you. This is simply the path to get the bill draft request into the Legislative Council Bureau by their deadlines to go ahead and get it under consideration for the 17th session.
Very good. All right. Commissioners, can I get a motion to approve, to authorize the county manager to finalize submittal language regarding this BDR?
Yes, I'll move to approve and authorize the county manager to finalize submittal language regarding Story County Singular Bill Draft Request, also known as a BDR, allocation for the 2017 Nevada Legislative Session to the Legislative Council Bureau, which is the LCB, regarding restructuring of the current composition of the Nevada Commission for the Reconstruction of the VNT Railway, or also known as Rail Commission, as provided for in Chapter 566, 1993 Statutes of Nevada, as amended by Chapter 42, 2001, Statutes of Nevada. Additionally, I move to condition approval of submittal based on requirements that the fundamental language must address and encompass the following provisions. A, restructure of the Rail Commission Board as constituted under Chapter 42, 2001, Statutes of Nevada, reducing the current structure from 9 rail commissions to 5, consisting of one elected supervisor or designated staff appointee from Carson City, appointed by the Carson City Board of Supervisors, 2, one elected commissioner or a designated staff appointee from Story County, appointed by the Story County Board of Commissioners, 3, executive director or equivalent position of the Carson City Convention and Visitors Bureau, 4, executive director or equivalent position of the Virginia City Tourism Commission, 5, one member appointed by the governor. Effective date of this change, if approved, would be October 1st of 2017. Other elements, as may be recommended by Story County Legal Counsel, Story County's acknowledged legislative lobbyists, including but not limited to Walker and Associates and Greg Hess and the Legislative Council Bureau, also known as the LCB.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's moved and second to approve this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dwight.
Okay. How about if we take about a 10-minute recess?